stop. Next and Stacy's three stop. Hey, you guys, it's Lex and Stacy, and this is Threesome Podcast number 58.
Wow. Did you hurt yourself?
No, because I've had an energy shot and a five-shot espresso cup of coffee.
Hi, guys.
So I'm pretty much at high guys mode right now.
It's 18-year-old Lex. Still with the squeaky voice.
No, 18-year-old Lex was pretty much just like 55-year-old Lex.
So bitter, angry, not giving a fuck.
Not as bitter, not as angry, but definitely unflappable in the you better act perky department.
Well, you did a fantastic job being perky.
Yeah, thank you.
If only I could reach that level that you did.
You will never reach that level. You are a bitter, pissed off, unhappy person.
Me.
And the thing I love about you, and I always have, is you own it.
Thank you.
It's
nice to be recognized.
You actually looked at yourself and went, this is kind of my makeup. This is kind of who I am. I'm going to embrace this.
Yes.
Instead of people telling you you need to be brighter and cheerier, you're like, fuck that.
Oh, people told me.
Oh, I
know.
You
were one of them.
I was one of them.
Yes.
I was trying
to
help
you
get
ahead. Didn't I?
I was trying to help you get ahead because you have enormous talent, and I wanted you to play the game a little bit. And that's all that was.
I understand.
I know you do. I think you understood when we were telling you, and you still didn't want to fucking do it. Terry and I used to have those talks. It's like, she's not stupid. She's like probably the smartest person on the fucking show, but she just won't fucking do it. So just forget it. Just stop telling her how to dress, telling her where to go. Just leave it alone.
And I thank you.
When she crashes to her death, we can stand over her and go, told you.
Because you would.
And that gives me satisfaction and makes me at peace with this whole thing.
And you own that.
Mm-hmm.
That's your thing.
It is my thing. I try to help people, but when they don't let me help them, fuck them.
You're even there though, to sweep away the pieces.
Even though I helped you anyway on the way out the door.
Did. You did.
Because I, even your actions and where you ended up didn't deserve that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I always knew you were a sweet chick, good person. So my wife felt the same way, so we ponied up.
You did.
Yeah.
And it was appreciated.
I know. No.
By many.
Yes. There's one person that's not around that really appreciates it.
Yes.
But that's okay.
That's very okay.
Uh-huh. That's a double, triple okay. All right. So let's move on. There's so much stuff to cover, I can't even get a grasp on it. But let's just go ahead and start with our boy Donald Trump, since you and I are big fans.
Huge fan. Oh, my God. I can't get enough of the Donald.
Now, this is why I love Donald Trump. I love P.T. Barnum-type people. I love people that do things to garner attention for themselves and constantly find ways to get it, because I'm amazed by it. I'm impressed by it. It's amazing to me how there is no humility in some people to get noticed.
I know. And he's shameless.
He is shameless, and I have to say, I don't mind that aspect of him. The part I do mind
It's okay if you're a Kardashian.
Yeah. The part I do mind is that 2% of him that really thinks he can win. That part I mind.
Yes. I don't want that man speaking for me or making decisions, you know. Because first of all, I know that he is not in any way worried about, like, my well-being as a citizen of the United States. He wants to take care of himself. He wants to get shit done that will improve his life after he's president. Let's assuming he became president.
I don't even think it's about improving his life anymore. I think it's about his vanity, getting noticed, being in the limelight, having attention. I don't think any of this is about improving his finances or taking care of the United States. I think it's all about staying center court. I really do.
I agree. But, you know, once you become president, you're kind of there. Unless you get assassinated, you are the most known human being in the world at that point for the years that you're president. So he has to do something while he's there other than just continue to be a colossal douchebag.
You know, if he makes it through this vast wasteland of candidates and ends up in front of Hillary, he's going to get carved up in a debate like no other.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was him that we finally found out was not born in the United States?
I know. You were born in Donald Amsterdam.
Trump's, yes, Donald Trump's real birth certificate comes out.
And your mother was a kind of a dude.
A red light whore.
Yeah. They actually put an egg and your sperm in her asshole and she had a baby.
She literally shit you right out, Don.
Or he had a baby or something. It's Amsterdam. Who the fuck knows? Yeah, that'd be pretty funny stuff. Something that makes even Bruce Jenner put his hand to his mouth and go, oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
What kind of freak are you?
What's happening to this country? So Lisa and I were watching an episode of The Kardashians before I came over here.
I'm sorry.
And mentally
preparing for the podcast, I see.
She was cute. She goes, I'll just save you the question. Yes, I've cleaned out the DVR since it's been raining for 3 days. I'm like, gotcha. She says, so I'm left with this. I went, cool, let's watch, let's eat, let's dine, and let's watch and see what's going on here, because I need to watch an episode every so often so I can make fun of these people.
Right.
And in this episode, Bruce obviously has left the house, gotten his own home, and the daughter is concerned. She goes, for 25 years...
Which daughter?
The blonde one.
Chloe and Courtney and Kim and
I think it might be who's the one that was married to the basketball player? It's not her.
Okay.
Out of Chloe and Courtney. Was it Chloe that was it Courtney that was with
Lamar Odom?
Yeah.
I know that, but I don't know which Kardashian it is. I don't know.
I think it's Courtney.
I have never watched the show.
I think it's Courtney that was with him, so I think this is Chloe. So okay. she's like, you know, he's getting all these alterations done. She goes, he's been my dad for 25 years. I got to remember what he looks like. And I'm like, seriously? You've had 25 years to look at this motherfucker. You have
My dad's been dead for 20, and yeah. I can still remember what he looked like.
Absolutely.
Dumb bitch.
So, yeah, you know. And
let's make it about you.
There it is. Yeah, that was the minor argument Lisa and I had. She goes, I'd feel the same way. You know, my dad's about to look like a chick. You know, and I'm like, yeah. But she's saying she can't remember what the fuck he looked like. Come on. I said, I still remember a time I couldn't have been more than 3 years old where I was sitting in the front seat of a Corvette my dad brought home from the dealership. And I still remember how high the dash was and the red seats and him looking at me and saying something. I just remember his face, you know, but it was like a moment in time where I remember that aspect of his life, and then others as time goes, as he aged.
Plus, she has the added benefit of having, you know, Bruce Jenner, who is a semi-famous person. Gosh.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is Google him. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people could Google their father right now and not have anything show up? You know what I mean?
Right.
So shut up. You know what he looks like.
Yeah. I mean, it's all scripted out bullshit and everything. Never mind. I'll end up in a fight if I go further.
Oh, why?
Because I was just like, I said, this is so fucking scripted. She can't be that fucking dumb. Nobody can.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I'm like, I'm one of the most insensitive people on earth, and I remember my dad chronologically as I grew up. If I ran into 30-year-old dad in heaven, I'd know it's him. It's you just yes. fucking know these things. You do. You know, it's not rocket science. Yeah, it's my fucking dad. Who's now my mom. I don't know. So, it's just an infuriating show from that standpoint. It's so insulting. It really is.
Well, since you brought them up, there was a story that I saw, but I decided to pass on it. Because I thought, what are the odds that we're going to talk about the Kardashians? We've never talked about them before.
Can I just tell you something?
Oh, no.
Do not pass on anything. I will talk about anything. Anything. You already fucking brought up Pinterest. Jesus Christ.
That was off air.
Yeah,
you
still,
have every right to.
Still. Just saying.
No. Apparently, of course, everyone, if you have ever turned a computer on and connected it to the internet, you know who Kim Kardashian is.
Absolutely.
You know she's married to Kanye. You know that she had her little sex tape, and that's what kind of put her on the map.
And I need to see her one more time so I can remember her.
Yes. All oiled up and slippery looking with no body hair.
I'll tell you what, there's somebody I want to remember from 10 years ago, because that ass is enormous now. Oh, my God.
I get the distinct impression, like, she was very shapely before, and it has become such a thing, and I'm guessing, too, that Kanye probably, that's his thing. And so what her ass has become now is just a cartoon
what she was a classically beautiful woman. Even I have to just stand back at Kim Kardashian 10 years ago and go, look at that face, look at that body, look at that skin.
Yes.
I mean, you just had to look at her and go, that is one of the most beautiful women in the world. No doubt about it. I don't feel that way
anymore.
Well,
she's older. I think she's getting close to 40, because I think she lies about her age.
She's, let's just give her a break and say 35. Her face doesn't match her body. You know, her body is manufactured. If you look at her face, it's still skinny.
Right.
If you look at her torso, it's still skinny. You look at her arms, skinny. Ankles, skinny. That ass, you could show a movie on. And that's Implant City. I know it is.
Yes.
And the shame is, even if she took them out now, her body would never adjust to that.
There'd be a lot of nipping and tucking going on to correct that.
But when you bang that in 10 years, you're going to feel like you're hitting shoulder pads. It's going to be like you're on the sled at football practice.
Make your little hut-hut sounds while nailing her.
Not that I ever shoved my groin into the sled, but you get the idea.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I never fucked the sled in the football field. For one thing, it's kind of bent, like, in concave. It's kind of hard to get in there. But that's another story. I digress.
Now that you've thought about it, dreamt about
I digress. That was at an age where I was ready to fuck anything. All guys at that age want to fuck anything.
Yes. Yes. American Pie taught me that.
It's just the way it is.
Well, do you know what Kim Kardashian was before she was all of those things that we know her as? Do you know what actually, like, is the reason why we know her at all?
Yep.
What? And
OJ. Her dad.
Well, that wasn't what I was going for, but yeah, there's that
okay.
too. She was Paris Hilton's personal assistant.
Really?
Now, I knew, you know, obviously they used to be friends a long time ago, and I have heard rumors, too, that both of them, how to say this delicately, both of them were allegedly very high-priced hookers. Like, they took care of very, very, very rich men. And after they'd already had their falling out and weren't really friends anymore, there was some billionaire who wanted to tag team them. And it was kind of like a last hurrah. They like were on Richard Branson's Virgin yacht or something and got paid stupid, stupid money for the two of them to, you know, fuck this billionaire guy. Those are all rumors, though. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah.
But they were, she was, Kim Kardashian was Paris Hilton's personal assistant. And apparently, she was the one who would feed all the little gossip bits about Paris Hilton to the tabloids.
Ah.
So Kim went right into the life of fame, knowing exactly how to manipulate the tabloids and get her name out there.
Yeah, but the real genius is the mom.
You think?
Yes, absolutely. Without question. Absolute marketing genius. And I'll tell you why. Because it didn't stop with Kim. For one thing, she's the one who cut the deal with Ryan Seacrest for the show, not Kim.
Right.
She's the one who got Kim the all the ads. And the and was the first person to maximize Twitter for a large revenue base. I mean, she's a fucking animal. She's an opportunist. Amazing.
She's like Sharon Osbourne, but different.
She's like Sharon Osbourne, but I'd fuck her.
Sharon or Chris?
Chris.
You wouldn't fuck Sharon?
Yeah, I'd fuck Sharon. I don't care. You know, come on. It's fucking. Who cares?
She could screech at you in that thick British accent and just say, you know, she'd say the filthiest things to you.
That's true.
That anyone's ever said. She would probably make your head explode because you're like, oh my God, I've never put those words together before. And you'd lose your erection because you'd just be thinking about what she just said to you.
You know what? You've sold me on her. I now want to fuck Sharon more. I had a Kris Jenner moment at the Super Bowl in Tampa several years ago. They stayed at the Hard Rock, and I was on the treadmill. This is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody in the gym. I mean, nobody. It's just me, and her and three of the Kardashian girls came downstairs to all get on the treadmill together.
One treadmill. All of them.
Four treadmills.
Okay.
There's four treadmills, four Kardashians, and then I'm on the treadmill. And she comes over and she says, can you get off the treadmill? And I said, I'm almost wrapped up with my workout. I got like 7 more minutes. I said, is that okay? She goes, can you cut it short?
And I went, can you guys?
And I went, no. Do I look like I should cut it short? And she says, well, I want to work out with my girls. And I said, and in 7 minutes you will be.
Yeah. I realize in mice years, that's a long time, yeah. But.
So I keep running, you know, I'm in a zone. I don't want to quit, you know, because it's hard enough to talk yourself into going down and, you know, working out anyway. So once you're doing it, you want to do it. You want to finish the deal. Right. Because otherwise you feel like you've done nothing. And this guy comes over a minute later, and he says, I'm going to need you to get off the treadmill. And I said, why? Because she's fucking famous? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, I'm fucking famous too. As a matter of fact, I'm on the radio in this town, and I could really fuck you up. So why don't you leave me alone?
You clearly haven't seen Kim's and my sex tape yet.
I said, she's going to call your manager, and by the time she does all that, I'm going to be off the treadmill. But tomorrow morning, if you pull me off of here, I am fucking you up. So go away. So he does. And she comes over, and I obnoxiously wipe it down, every inch of it with a wet... I mean, just like, and I said,
you shouldn't have. You should have just left Lex juice all over it.
No, I wanted the 7 minutes to turn into 12 or 15. I wanted her kids halfway through their workout before she even got on the damn thing. So I wiped this thing down spotless. And she's like itching to get on, and I'm like, I'm actually going like under the rails and wiping it off. You know, I mean, it's like I'm on like my eighth towel. You know, it's like I've wiped dust that's probably treadmill dust that's been there for 15 years or whatever, you know. And she goes, it's good enough now. And I said, nothing's good enough for you.
Whore.
And she, like, gives me this smile like, you fucking asshole. And I smile back like, you fucking entitled bitch.
Yep.
And we parted ways.
You know, she's not an unattractive woman.
No.
And she certainly,
no,
you know, is her age now and stuff.
No, but I'd hit that in a second. Are you kidding me?
I just don't understand how she got all of these like rich husbands.
Can you imagine what she looked like when she was younger? I totally see how she got these rich husbands. By the way, she just had one rich husband.
Which one?
Robert Kardashian.
You don't think Bruce Jenner was sort of rich?
No, not super rich. No. She was richer than he was just based on what was left to her.
Well, I hope then it was her money that shaved down his Adam's apple and took care of all the things that he had done. I hope she paid for that. And I mean that, you know.
From what I understand.
I can't imagine his life with her was pleasant in the least, and I feel bad for him.
From what I understand, she was extremely cool about the whole thing. Didn't understand it, you know, had a little trouble comprehending it, but in the end she was like, okay, Bruce, you know, let's make this as pleasant as possible.
I guarantee you, though, it was only because of the show and all that stuff. Because the climate today is such that you can't really get away publicly, unless you are a Republican Christian conservative, you can't sit there and go, oh my God, transgender is so gross.
You know what I mean? You know what? So what though? You know, when they did the interview with him, he was very kind towards her and was admitted he hurt her and, you know, didn't understand, she didn't understand the whole thing, but in the end went, okay, Bruce, well, let's make the best of this. Who cares if there's a TV show involved?
Didn't he say, though, that she He felt invisible for the 20 years or whatever that they were married. He felt invisible, that she very much wore the pants in the family and she did what she wanted to do. And his input meant little to nothing in the grand scheme of family decisions or anything.
Who cares? Does that sound like
saying, that answer, I don't think that answers your earlier question.
That answers your earlier question. Who do you think manifested all this?
Yes.
Now he has the money, thanks to her, to live his dream. A dream he's obviously had since he was a kid.
I know. You know, the tragedy there is this man is in his 60s, and to live that many years unhappy and uncomfortable in your own skin, I think about that, and I have empathy and compassion for him for what he must have felt. You know, everyone, I saw so many people talking about that and saying, you know, he's no hero. He's in Hollywood. They're freaks. They all do this to themselves. And it's like, no, you know, I'm pretty sure Sylvester Stallone still has his penis, you know?
I don't think he should have won the ESPY Courage Award for most courageous person, but I do think it was at this age and at this part of his life and as high profile as he and his family are, an incredibly ballsy thing, but I'm not ready to associate it with the word courage, like the little girl in Cincinnati who's 4 and going through cancer and, you know, just, you know, in the
Okay, I'm going to say something really unpopular, though, but cancer kids, it's not like they gave themselves cancer or their parents gave them cancer. Kids don't know better.
I know.
Of course they're going to be courageous if they have cancer. What are they supposed to do?
Well, I mean, you don't know that.
Well, have you ever seen a depressed cancer 4-year-old? No, they're all perky and happy because,
no,
you know, they've
not.
Got Make-A-Wish and everything.
No, they're not. My
I don't know any better.
One of my best friends had to sell his business to take his 4-year-old daughter to Houston to get her leukemia cured. She just graduated from high school. He was never the same financially. As a matter of fact, he's divorced and living in an apartment with some dude he went to high school with. Because just to make financial
ends
meet.
But she's happy, isn't she?
I don't know if she's happy. I don't know what her status is. I just know.
But she lived, she survived. Her courage had nothing to do with it. Her father, I would say, would be the more courageous one. But to say that a 4-year-old with cancer is courageous.
Yeah, well, you'd be 4 years old and you go and get into fucking MRI machines and into fucking, you know, pulsating sonic tubs and X-ray machines and whatever the fuck they make them do, chemotherapy, and tell me you're not scared shitless.
I'm just saying, you don't ever hear about that, but I'm sure that's exactly what happens. But
you don't hear about it because their parents shield you from it. And
I know, but all you ever hear about is, you know, how courageous this 4-year-old is, you know, because they have cancer. They don't have cancer because they opted to have it. So once you have cancer, either you live or you die. You know what I mean? Courageous is stepping out in front of a train to grab that 4-year-old and save him from getting hit by it and really putting yourself, making that decision to put yourself in danger to save the 4-year-old.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not buying into that.
You can have the most positive attitude award and give that to 4-year-olds because they remain happy and perky during their cancer, but courageous, no.
And then there's the case, I think her name's Lauren Hill, who died at 19 of brain cancer.
Yeah.
Shut up. God, I hate websites.
It's a terrible thing. This is what I am not. It's terrible. I remember when she died. I followed her story. I get it, and I'm very sad for her and for her family and anyone who knew and loved her. You know, but again, what inspired people wasn't courage. It was her ability to maintain a positive attitude.
Which takes courage, Stacey. You're dying. You're being told you're dying by your doctors. You're you got people walking around you, walking on eggshells. You know, it'd be so easy to say, fuck it. Fuck this. Fuck everybody. I'm just going to go get eaten up in the corner over here till it happens. You know, it takes somebody with some fucking balls to say, this isn't going to define how I live the rest of my life.
No matter how short it is.
It's getting defined for them, where in Bruce's case, it's not.
What do you mean?
What I mean is that this is a conscious decision on his part to finally do this.
Right. And in a way, that is actually more courageous. Again, it's just like the person who runs out, making that decision to run out and grab the four-year-old out from in front of the train and putting themselves at risk. He knew the horrible, hateful, awful things that were going to be said about him, especially because he's famous. You know, there are many transgender people who go through this change and make these decisions who only really have to deal with family, friends, and you know, local people, the people close to them who have an idea of what's going on. You don't have your business broadcast to the whole world.
Yeah, so?
So, you know, I do not equate what he did to the same as, like, you know, a military person saving their lot, you know, risking their life to save American lives. I don't equate it with that, but he made a decision. He knew it was going to be shitty, and he went through
with
it
anyway.
All right,
well, I mean, you can say the same.
He is going to inspire other people that are deathly afraid to go through this because of all the shit. Think about every awful thing that has been said about Bruce Jenner, and you know you've seen him. You've seen the comments everywhere on the internet. You have the fucking Duggars and stuff. You know, all of these Christians talking about him being a pedophile now because apparently that's what transgender and gay people do, is touch little kids. You know,
yeah, I haven't heard them say that, but okay.
Really? The whole point of the Duggars was talking about
own.
I know. the blatant hypocrisy of the Duggars.
Yes.
If he inspired anyone and showed anyone who is going through this and is uncomfortable and unhappy in their skin, can I understand that? I can't. I am, you know, female and I identify as female, but I can understand being so unhappy and not being able to talk to anyone about it because you know that you're probably going to push a lot of people away from you. In that regard,
which is why
I do believe
he waited
courageous.
To 65.
But he did it.
Yes, but he soaked up the companionship of his family and his friends and everything else till, in his mind, he was old enough to be satisfied with it. That's what I think. And if that's the real reason, it's not really courageous. Courageous would have been to do it 30 years ago. Yeah, I just won the gold medal, and I want to be
that.
A chick. That's courageous. I go hand them the ESPY myself at that point.
Well, first of all, he won what in the 70s? I don't even know if there was gender reassignment surgery in the 70s. I don't know when that started.
There was, because in the 70s was Dr. Rene Richards. I don't know if you remember that case, the tennis player. He was a doctor, a dude, and he changed to female, went on the tennis tour, and kicked some ass for a while because he was a guy. You know, you go from being a doctor 6 months ago to having the hardest tour on the women's tour, hardest serve on the women's tour 6 months later.
Well, it probably worked out really well for her then.
Yeah, I believe it did. look up Dr. Rene Richards, probably the first famous case.
Gotcha. I do remember that now. I didn't know what time. I guess I would have thought that was in the mid or to early 80s maybe, but I honestly don't
I remember it earlier
I was
than
a
that.
Kid.
I remember it because it was right around the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King debacle. where the battle of the sexes, and I think that was in the 70s.
Okay.
Pretty sure it was. So, it goes back that far. And that was ballsy, so to speak.
Yes. Ballsy-less.
Yeah, and the same argument was had. It's like, it's unfair. It's like, hey, nobody puts themselves through this, and I believe, unless they really want to be that gender.
I agree. And for you to want to go through all of that to get to that point, I think illustrates just how unhappy you actually are with yourself.
Yeah, listen, we'll just agree to disagree. I don't think it trumps cancer, but it's pretty courageous. That's my stance on it.
I don't think it trumps someone who saves someone else's life. Maybe the doctors who treat the kids with cancer. They're courageous.
Not really. They're just doing their fucking job. What's so courageous about that?
Because they have to deal with little bald kids all the day. And, you know, I'm sorry, that has to start to just wear on you after a while.
No, I mean, most doctors are pretty, I would say, sociopathic about it.
Yes. They can go home and not give it a thought.
Yeah, exactly. They have to be that way. I hope they're that way, because otherwise they're not going to have a life.
Right.
They almost have to be that way. They got to be like House.
Oh, House.
House is the best.
Yes.
Am I going to die? Are you going to die? Of course you're going to die. We do have one thing we're going to try.
It's going to be really painful.
Yeah. We do have one thing we're going to try before that happens. Maybe I can save you. I don't know. That guy's awesome.
You know, that show taught me one thing, and I don't know how true to life it was, but is that how that works? You just keep trying shit till something works? I was always horrified, like, every episode. Like, wow, do doctors just really not know that much?
In certain cases, they get mystified, and I'm sure there's a think tank that goes on, and if they can try something without it killing somebody, yeah, they'd probably try it. Why not?
House just made it seem like that each and every doctor decision was a crapshoot as to whether or not it was going to be correct and if it was going to work.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's a dramatic TV series, but... I know a couple of doctor friends of mine who thought he was the most realistic doctor character they've seen.
They're all hopped up on the Vicodin.
My one friend said, he goes, doctors really don't give a shit. As far as your
nurses are the heart and soul of medical care.
As far as your personal feelings and as far as getting too involved, he goes, we don't give a shit. He says, we're seeing 150 patients on our rounds. You know, it's like we can't get involved. So, yeah, we look like uncaring assholes. He goes, but every once in a while, a case comes along that... either has your curiosity or has you baffled and you become a little more involved. But for the most part, nah.
Then I take it back. Doctors are not courageous either. Fuck them.
Yeah, I told you they're not. They're just doing their gig.
It's the nurses who take care of the little kids with cancer. They're the courageous ones.
The nurses just give shots, IVs, and clean up shit. Come on, let's be honest.
And they're the ones that
hold hands. How courageous
is
that?
And
you're not courageous. You should have went through fucking medical school. And become a doctor yourself.
Because, as you said, doctors aren't the one taking the blood. Doctors aren't the one changing, you know, bed sheets because someone just shit everywhere.
Well,
the nurses do all that. The
nurses
are the
don't
ones.
Do that. The orderlies do that. A nurse,
nurses do as well.
No, they
nurses
don't.
Are the ones also who give the compassion.
No, they don't.
You know, they give the sympathy and the comfort.
Hey, I'm glad you saw the Clara Barton story or whatever it was, or the Florence Nightingale, but the fact of the matter is, no, they don't give a fuck about changing bed sheets or any of that stuff. They're almost like the doctors. They fucking chart a patient and then get some underling to administer blood tests and what have you.
I can tell you when my father passed away, he was in intensive care. So I would have to assume that intensive care people die on a fairly regular basis. And when my dad died that afternoon, as we were leaving his room after saying goodbye, there was at least one nurse standing at the nurse's desk who was crying. That's always stuck in my head because I thought, wow, I would think that she would kind of be over that.
Now, can
I
tell you why she was crying? She just got a call from she just got a call from administration saying I got three patients coming in and she has one bed.
And they've all got violent diarrhea.
That's right. It's the reality of the situation.
I'm sorry, you're not going to take that away from me.
Hey, I'm not trying to. After all, I am the son of a registered nurse. I know the deal. So I'm not gonna ruin your utopian view of it.
I know a nurse personally, and I have dealt very intimately with hospice nurses. Maybe hospice nurses are a very different breed. In fact, I believe they are, but I think that nurses give a fuck more than doctors do.
Oh yeah. I'll agree with that. I'll definitely agree with that. All right, we need to wrap things up here. We never did get to the politics. We got started on Trump and got off on something else. But next episode, we must get into that because the whole thing with Jeb and Donald and everybody involved is something to talk about.
Yes.
So we'll get into some of that, plus we have some other things. But right now, this podcast is over, number 58. We're wrapping it up. Stacy, thank you. Awesome.
Thank you, Lex.
And we'll see you next time on Threesome Podcast 59 with Lex and Stacy. Goodbye.
Bye.